Hi, and thank you for joining us on Real Estate for Millennials. My name is Sara Shamradian, aka Millennial Realtor LA. And today joining us is Sean Zakarian. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
And we're gonna be talking about three different steps. So it will be select and view properties, make an offer to purchase, and negotiate and counter. So thank you for being here.
Of course.
If you don't mind just giving an intro and introduce yourself to the audience.
Yeah, I'm Sean Zakarian with Compass. I've been doing real estate for about 7 years now. Done everything from warehouse space to luxury homes to apartment buildings, you name it. So,
yeah, and Sean's my number one hype man.
Hell yeah. Sara has the good hair, so you know, we got to make sure she knows that.
We work on the same team, so we work under Thomas Attainment & Associates. So I'm really lucky to be on the team, and you have taught me a lot in real estate, so thanks again for being here. So let's start with select and view properties. So far we've talked about finding a realtor, getting pre-approved, and then the next step would really be looking at homes. I just wanted to tell the, you know, first-time home buyers, the viewers that are watching, how the criteria of buying your home is really important, and how, you know, that criteria telling your realtor is, it needs to be specific, but also you need to separate, right? So like what a perfect home would be and what you really can't live without.
Yeah, of course. Right? Yeah. So, you know, the thing is, like, a lot of times a buyer will come in and will be like, I want this, this, and that, right? And you need to find a unicorn deal.
Right.
There really isn't any unicorn deals, especially when it comes to Los Angeles. I mean, you will find something you like, but filling all the gaps is really hard unless you're building like a custom home. So with what I do with my clients, especially first-time buyers, is really want to figure out what they're actually looking for. Mm-hmm. So if three bedrooms is a must, 100% we need to look for three bedroom, right? But then when we get to like front yard, backyard, pool, we want a man cave, like the garage to be a man cave, and all these things. Those are things that we start breaking down, because the most important thing is figuring out location, because location is key. No matter what you buy, you want to be in a good location, because even if the market turns or the market doesn't turn, your location and being in a good school district is going to go a long way. And that's where you're really going to make all your money. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you see it yourself all the time. All these people that bought properties, now they're selling, they're making top dollar. Why? Because they bought in a good location.
So. Yeah. Also, talking about location, I always tell my first-time home buyers that's really important to keep an open mind, because actually, I think I've sold majority of my houses in the location where it wasn't listed in their original criteria. So when they've came to me, they're like, we only want to live in this one area, but I've actually showed them other houses in different areas, and those are the homes that they've bought. And also, their budget has a lot to do with it.
Budget's everything.
Yeah. So if you have a low budget and you have all these things that you want in a house, sometimes, again, it's a unicorn deal. It's like literally impossible to find. Yeah. So if you want a good area, you know, three bedroom house, it has to have this, it has to have that. It's really hard to find.
Yeah.
So keep an open mind. Let your realtor do their job. Let them show you properties that they know you might like and consider. And keep an open mind with the area, definitely, right?
Yeah, it's all about bringing value to your clients, right? And if you can present them with something that the property, you know, there's going to be value, you can't go wrong. Like almost all, I want to say 100% of my clients have made money off everything they bought.
Yeah.
Because I'm all about location.
Because you're a good realtor.
Well, it comes with that, but it also is just, you need to know what you're doing, you know, and you really need to trust your agent. A lot of people think they can go on Redfin and Zillow and Realtor.com and find their dream home. It doesn't work like that, especially with connections. Mm-hmm. You know, like being in the business, I might know brokers and agents that properties are coming that you don't even know about yet. And a lot of times I've sold off market because my clients have trusted me and have listened, and, you know, results have occurred from it. So,
okay, great. Thank you. So let's move on. So let's say you've viewed a property, you really like it, and you're ready to put an offer in. Let's talk about how to actually make that offer. What does that mean to make a purchase offer?
So the purchase agreement, that's actually the most important thing for a buyer, because it gives you your, as they say, shields, right? So you have the inspection contingency, which you inspect the home, you make sure you figure out everything about it. Whatever the sellers know about the property, they have to disclose to you. You do all the reviews, even go to the city, like whatever needs to be done to figure out what's going on with the property, you do during that point. Then you have the appraisal. That's when, if you're doing financing, which means getting a loan, then the bank comes out and appraises the value. Many of the times when someone does an appraisal, that's for a buyer, that's like the strongest shield as well, because if the property is listed at 1.1 million, but the value in the area show that it's only $1 million or $1,020,000, the bank's gonna come back and give you the real value, mm-hmm. right? And that's a big plus for buyers, because sometimes, you know, when you're overpaying for something like that, that appraisal can be a shield to make sure you actually don't get really ripped off, yeah. right? And the third one is the loan contingency. Loan contingency is the bank. That's the time they need to give you the loan, to approve you. You work with your lender, your loan officer. They make sure everything is correct. You know, your debt to income ratio is right, and right. there's no, you know, miscommunication, or, you know, a lot of times people will go into escrow thinking, oh, my payments will be this, and then they'll be shocked in escrow because they didn't provide enough information to, you know, the get lender, the yeah. right, you know, things from the lender. So that actually is very beneficial too during escrow, because you literally get the ins and outs of everything that has to do with the property.
Right. So I just want to explain what contingencies are. So sure. contingencies really protect the buyers, because you can back out of a deal if those contingencies haven't been taken out already. So you're making an offer contingent on these three different things.
Yes.
And if you decide that, you know, your loan payments are too high, the appraisal didn't come through and you have to put a bigger down payment, or what was the third one? The inspections.
Inspections
are huge. If the inspections are really bad and there's too much to fix of the house and that's not what you were looking for, then you can back out of the offer with no penalties.
Yeah.
So that's what really is protecting the buyer. And once those contingencies are removed, that's when the buyer really doesn't have protection as much anymore.
Of course. Yeah.
But it's really important to know. And the residential purchase agreement is the big form offer agreement that you submit to the house, right?
Yes.
So it's called an RPA. So you're going to hear that term a lot with your realtor. Have you signed the RPA? Is the RPA complete? You know, all that kind of stuff. So the four things that you need to make an offer is the RPA, completed RPA, your pre-approval letter from your lender. So I always say a letter to the homeowner is important, especially for a first-time home buyer. You could always write a letter to the homeowner explaining what you love about the house and so on. Your realtor can explain more about that. And your proof of funds, which is literally a screenshot of your bank account, proving that you have enough for the down payment. That's
yeah,
what proof
and
of
like
funds
a lot
is.
Of agents won't tell you about the letter to the seller, but I've been in a lot of cases where it's been multiple offers, mm-hmm. 12, 15 offers, and we're the only one that wrote the letter.
Yeah.
And if the seller feels a connection with you and actually like reads it and understands mm-hmm. who you are and sees a picture of the family or
yeah.
your couple,
yeah.
they can really connect, and it can be a big difference. I've actually closed a few deals where we listed lower, but we got the deal done because the seller felt the connection with the buyer.
From the letter.
From the letter. Owner. So it's really important
yeah.
to at least identify yourself to the seller, because at the end of the day, the seller is just getting a bunch of papers.
Yeah,
right?
With a name.
They don't
on
know
it.
Who
yeah.
you are, what you represent, or, you know, your family and whatnot. So
yeah.
it's really, really important to always have a letter and always have a photo of you, you know, mm-hmm. your client. So
this is actually a great segue to talk about strategy. So the next step would be negotiate and counteroffer. So let's talk about strategy. How would you explain to your clients how they can be competitive in a competitive market? How are they gonna get their offer accepted in a competitive market?
First things first, I think it's really important to talk to your lender, right? Because your lender is kind of like, as important as we are to the client, the lender's as important, right? You need to disclose everything to your lender that has to do with you. The reason I'm saying it is because there's so many programs now that even though you're financing, it can be as good as cash, mm-hmm. right? And what that means is if you're approved within the company, sometimes your lender will be like, oh, you can remove the loan contingency. You can remove, you know, the appraisal, they did a analysis within and figured out this would be the price range. And those are things that can really help drive the price and actually get the seller to accept your offer. Because let's say the house is $1 million, right? And there's a cash offer for $850,000, right? But we have an offer that's higher, but we're not cash. We're gonna need that 30, 45 days. Well, these lenders nowadays can find the correct program, and once you're fully approved, you're as good as cash.
Yeah.
So I try to utilize all those programs that the lenders do give to the buyers that make sense, that they're comfortable with, and we move from there. Because that's one thing, but the other thing is you need to know, you need to have an agent that knows what they're doing. That's really important. Nowadays, unfortunately, there's a lot of mom and pop, you know, brokerages that are giving huge discounts saying, you know, can I talk about that?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Giving discounts about saying like, you know, we'll give you this much back and we'll do this and we'll do that. But the thing is, they're just trying to move volume. They don't really care who you are, right? They don't care for your well-being. They don't care what's going to end up happening. Mm-hmm. So when you find an agent like yourself who, you know, you're running the comps, you're looking at the, you know, top to bottom what's going on in the neighborhood, you know the school system, you know the area, what there is to do, is it safe, can you walk alone at nights and be comfortable and all those things. That's something you need, because you need an agent who actually cares and cares for your well-being.
Yeah.
So when it comes to strategy, what I like to do with a lot of my clients is to make sure they're in the right programs, right? And I want to make the offer competitive enough that the seller accepts it. I'm not saying go $200,000 over asking price if the property isn't worth it, right? And sometimes it's unfortunate, but buyers, they get emotional, you know? Just like we can get emotional with anything else. Like once you see something and you really want it, you might lose sight and just go all in with it. But as an agent, sometimes you have to put your foot down. I've told my clients many times, even though they've been frustrated and angry with me, this is not the one for you. Mm-hmm. It's not worth the value. You're trying to overpay.
I've done that before too. Yeah.
And my thing is, you know, when you treat your clients well, they'll remember that and they'll be clients for life. A lot of my clients, they're all referral client bases. I represent families, I represent companies. And the reason is because they trust me. And sometimes you have to be the bad guy, but you have to look what's best for them. And
and
you know, sometimes you get caught in the limelight and you know, we've all been there. You want something really bad, you're going to go all in on it.
And I think this is especially relevant with first-time home buyers.
Yeah.
Because they're, you know, they're coming into this fresh and they're excited and they're hungry and they want their first home.
Of course.
And they can very easily just rush into something that's not right. And I've had to, a lot of times, like, taken a step back with my first-time home buyers and be like, listen, like, This is the reality of it. This is the truth of like what you're gonna be paying for, and is it really worth it or is it not worth it, you know? And sometimes it is. Sometimes it is worth it.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is worth the listing or more, listed price or more, but sometimes it really isn't. So,
yeah, like I've lost clients that, you know, I've told them don't do it and whatnot, and you know, they may have been offended and they went and they jumped on something else and tried buying it, right? And I've gotten calls where they're like, hey, can you come sell it now? And I was like, well, what happened? Well, we saw something, we jumped the gun, we went straight to the listing agent. And the thing with a lot of buyers that they don't realize is sometimes they say, oh, let's go straight to the listing agent.
Yeah, we've Guess talked what? About this too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a huge red flag. Like no one, and this comes out to being a good agent for your clients, these listing agents, you know, they want best for their the sellers, right? So it's hard for you to be fair to both these buyers and sellers. So what are you supposed to do then, right? So you got to come to common grounds, unless it's if it's a development opportunity, unless it's a fixer-upper and the client is going to do, you know, like a remodel to sell, flip, and whatnot. But again, it's just, it's really important to know who you're, you know, agent is and what they're willing to do for you.
Okay, that's all really great information, especially for first-time home buyers. So hope everybody was listening to that. And there's a couple things that I definitely want to touch on that I think first-time home buyers get confused about or don't really even know anything about. The first thing would be what is a bidding war? and how do you kind of navigate your way through that? I want to explain this because we're in a very competitive market right now. And I feel that a lot of first-time homebuyers jump into these bidding wars and they get really flustered. So I want our viewers to understand what that is and how they can, you know, navigate their way through that and what to expect when they're in a bidding war.
So bidding wars means, let's give a great example. Property is listed for $599,000. Great school district, beautiful lawn, all the bells and whistles you can imagine, right? But they listed it lower than what's on the market. Well, that causes a bidding war because now instead of having one offer in, you might have 20 offers in. And we've seen that a lot. We see it all the time, right? So when you become, when you go in a bidding war, it's really important to know what your cutoff price is.
Right, your budget, your final.
And that's where the good agent comes in. Because once you're caught in that limelight again and you're just like, I need this house, all I want is this house, and you can't think about it, that's when you have to come in, and that's when the agent really, you know, says, look, I really think the property is only worth up to $650,000, right? What they're trying to do is drive the price to $700,000. So what I like to do with my clients is, especially in a bidding war, I like to pull all the comps, because there might be a property that's been sitting on the market for a long time that no one is showing love to, and here's a new listing that there's 20 offers on, right? So I do the price per square foot to try to get an analysis of what it really is. And based on what's sold, what's on the market, and, you know, just the neighborhood, you have a clear separation of what actual the value is and what you're willing to pay. So I think with the bidding war, it's important to understand that, you know, just because you're in a bidding war doesn't mean you're going to have to pay top dollar at the end of the day. And it also doesn't mean that you're going to lose it. You just have to be strategic about it. You go back to your lender. Look, there's 20 offers. What can we do? Lender can say, well, we checked your file. You might not need a loan contingency anymore. Guess what? Now you're almost as good as cash, right? Because you don't have a loan contingency. And now you can go against the cash people and you cut off, let's say, 70% of the rest because they were all financed, right? That's one way. Another way is to just, you know, really understand what you're willing to pay. Sometimes people will come and say, put 615, let's see what happens.
No, yeah.
If you're willing to pay 650 and the value is 650, why would you put yourself in a position to go on a second counter stage?
Yeah.
And if people don't know what that means, it means the first counter comes in, they'll say highest and best and whatnot. And this is where everyone flocks and tries to put a price they think might get it, right? But sometimes what people do is they're like, oh, I don't want to offer more than $10,000-$15,000. So 70-80% of those 20 offers are doing the same thing. And then the two, you know, the rest of the 30% are going to what they're willing to pay for, right? Which is putting them in a better shot and a better position to win the property. So when it comes to bidding wars, it has to be, you need to know, like, this is what I'm willing to pay. And this is what, you know, I'm trying to go all in on. Because remember, they can only accept one offer.
Exactly.
Right? So if it's worth the value, you need to go for it.
Yeah.
You can't sit back, because that $30,000 that you're worried about, the average of someone living in a house, if they're really trying to start a family and the schools, it's usually 10 to 20 years. So is that $30,000 difference worth you losing that property within the next 10, 20 years?
I've lost a house on 5,000.
Yeah.
5,000.
So like, imagine.
You could have just gone at 5,000.
And imagine, now they're kicking themselves in the head. And the problem is, it reflects back on you, because it's like,
they were like, why didn't you tell us that there was a higher offer? It's like, but that's not how it works. Like, I didn't know that there was a higher offer if you were willing to go up to.
And that's the thing. If you had that number in your head, you should have done it in the first place.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. I said, I didn't know that you were willing to go up higher. Well, we would have if we knew.
We're not genies in a bottle.
I know. I was what? Yeah. So, yeah, I've definitely lost houses over 5,000, and that 5,000 really is so minimal in your, you know, in your finding a new, your perfect house. That 5,000 really is nothing.
You're not even going to believe this. I've lost a property. I was 50,000 above everybody else.
Wow.
But because of whatever reason the seller made a connection with the other buyer, they took that. I've been in a situation where I was less and they've taken mine. So it comes and goes, but it just really, you really need to set yourself apart, and you really in the letter need to explain yourself to the seller, because that piece of paper might get you the property.
Mm-hmm. Like what you love about the house and what you...
Just you envisioning like what, you know...
What your life is going to be like.
I've walked in a lot of properties that, you know, the buyer will come in and will look at it and, you know, they'll talk about price. Is it worth it? It's not. I've had buyers walk in before and be like, oh my God, this is the one. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
So you feel it. You catch that vibe. If it's something that you love and you just, you know... It's just beautiful and you feel good about it. You know that's your property. And a lot of times it happens, even with my own properties. Like I've walked in and I've said, this is the one.
Yeah.
I'm willing to go that extra mile. I'm willing to pay a little bit more, but I'm gonna keep it. It's my property.
Yeah.
You know? So
don't lose your house over
Don't lose your house over, you know, trying to, number one, either be too cheap, right? Because at that point, then, you know, there's different angles you can go, because if you're going to be too cheap and not come up that extra price, remember, what's $5,000 or $20,000 within 20 years?
Yeah.
What is that
it's
on
like
your
nothing.
Loan? It's nothing. So why would you lose that?
Yeah.
Especially with what you see in LA happening statistically, mm-hmm. prices continue going up. When our parents bought properties, those days will never come back.
Yeah.
So what makes you think that right now these properties we buy in 20 years they'll still be the same price?
No, it won't be. It'll
it
be
won't
higher.
Be. Exactly. So with that said, value. It's like it is worth the value, especially if you're going to sell it. If you're a developer or a flipper, it's
That's
different.
That's different. It's a different story. Yeah. But we're talking a first-time
no,
buyer.
No, of course.
So
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah, so it's important for them to know that it's worth it in the end and your value is going to go up, especially in LA. So,
of course.
Another thing I want to talk about is how when what with me when I'm talking to first-time home buyer, when we're looking at properties, I try to explain to them that it's better to look at properties that have been on the market for more than for at least 2 weeks. You know, it's really hard to be competitive when you're on a budget, right? It's hard to go into these bidding wars when you have a lower budget. So when you are looking at homes that are hot homes, that you go to the open house and there's like 100 people there, you know there's going to be multiple offers, I tend to say, you know, try, but don't get your hopes up on getting your offer accepted. I always guide my first-time home buyers to look at homes that have been on the market for a little bit longer, that have less competition, that have less attention on it, you know, so even though they have a low budget, they're not competing with anyone else.
You're making me proud right now. These are all things. I'm so proud of you. Yeah. No, because that's what
great.
It is. Because a lot of times the property might show 30 days on the market, and psychologically as a buyer, you're like, what's wrong with that house? Mm. Like, you're already turned off, right? Mm. Oh, why is it stale? It should have sold already. You never know what the problem could have been. Maybe the seller was too greedy and decided to list it $100,000 more than the value. Well, and I'm happy you do that, because that's kind of been something I always preach, is you want to go after those properties because you can actually end up getting a better deal on it. You know,
yeah.
I've gone to properties that have been sitting on the market for almost 150 days and I've closed deals on it that my buyers couldn't believe the price we got.
Mm-hmm.
Because at first, you know, you look at it and you go, oh my God, it's so much more than my budget. But you actually don't know how bad the seller really needs to sell.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have to move out of state. Sometimes it fell upon their lap that they got the property. They just want to get it done with. So mm-hmm. it's happened a lot. It's something where you need to honestly keep your eyes open, especially if you've identified your location. You know.
So another thing that I've realized a lot of people don't know is that you can actually offer, you can always offer less than the listed price. Not a lot of first-time home buyers know that, but you can offer less than the listed price. You can offer what you think the house is worth, and you can see what they come back with as a counter offer.
Yeah.
It happens all the time. I'm sure you've bought houses as representing the buyer, got it under a listing.
Always. That's the thing. But I target properties that I've been sitting
exactly,
a long time.
Me too. I agree. Okay, another thing I want to talk about is things to know about the game of real estate. So a lot of people don't really know. I get clients asking me, oh, what's their highest offer? It's like, okay, I can ask, but the listing agent isn't going to tell me the truth. You know, so they are not obligated to tell us how many offers they have, what the highest offer is, or they could even lie about it. So, right? Okay. So they shouldn't, but they do.
And, you know, the thing is, it's not...
clouded truth, I should say.
Yeah, because if they actually do lie to you and it's on paper and you can go back, then they'll get in a lot of trouble. But that's why, well, now they're talking about the game, why it's so important going with the agent that knows the area. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a great example. Like, I've worked with a lot of top brokers and agents throughout these 7 years, right? And with that said, I have very strong connections because my number one thing is you never know when you'll work with that agent again, right? Mm-hmm. Especially if it's a top producing listing agent. So part of the game is if you have done a successful transaction with that agent already, guess what? If they see your name coming in with the offer again,
they want to work with you.
They want to work with you. And they're going to push the seller to be inclined more to work with your offer. Why? Because they've had successful transaction with you. They feel comfortable with you. They know you're not BSing, mm-hmm. you know? That's why it's also so important to make sure you work with the right lenders, right? Sometimes a lender will give you a number that's way cheaper than anyone else. You're like, how is this possible? Well, let me try them. They might be the worst lenders ever,
yeah.
right?
And we're they the might, ones that have to deal with it.
Yeah, and they might be the ones that can't get the job done. They mm-hmm. might sell you a broken promise, mm-hmm. right? They honestly couldn't get you that rate. So now the rate's this. Well, guess what? It might have held escrow. And then sellers can turn around when you don't remove your contingency periods and say you have 48 hours to remove it or we're going to cancel. Or I've seen this happen as well where you have to pay a per diem because the seller's looking to move on, right? So throughout that course, if they don't cancel and they're nice enough to stick around, you might have to pay $100, $150 a day per diem yeah. until you close. So when we talk about the game and kind of knowing all of that, it's really, really important to choose the right agent. I can't say that and I cannot preach that enough because a lot of times that agent can open doors for you that you never knew was possible.
It's like a make or break.
It is. It really
is. Not only the agent, but also the brokerage. We talked about this in our
brokerage too. Brokerage too. I mean, we can talk days about that. So I'll stop there.
Me and Thomas talked about it because we explained how, like, you know, Compass, the name of Compass really puts like that
edge.
That it gives you that edge and gives you that kind of a promise to the other agent that we're going to do our best and we're going to work hard and we're not here just to mess around. So
and also you can't just walk into Compass. You need to have a set sale mm-hmm. and you need to meet the criteria
and that's why as an agent.
Yeah, and that's what makes a difference between people at Compass, for example, and other brokerages mm-hmm. because there might be another brokerage you've never done a deal but they'll let you in. Compass doesn't do that. Mm-hmm. They have a set minimum, so that means they want experts. They want people who are constantly selling, who are doing volume, who know what they're doing mm-hmm. right? And that's what brings
and have a good reputation,
of course, and yeah. that's what brings us, you know, where we are today.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's it. Do you have anything else that you want to tell first-time home buyers? Any advice, anything?
Choose the right agent. It's really important. Make sure you get all your financing correctly. Make sure you choose the right banks, the right lenders to help you through it. Make sure you know what you're doing. And honestly, you have to trust your agent. You know, there might be times you think you're right, but if they've seen the rodeo once, they kind of have a feel of what's going to happen next. You got to trust your agents. And I'm proud
of
you. That's
it. Thanks. Thanks for being here. Thanks for coming on the show. I think this was amazing. I think this is a lot of great information for the viewers.
Of course.
And if you guys have any other questions, just let me know. Thank you guys so much for listening. And tune in next week for another episode.
Cheers.